Started this morning. We'll be using both the hymn book and the 101 book, so make sure you have those handy. Let's go with number 7 in the 101 book to start with. Number 7 in the 101 book. The song says to stand, so why don't we do so if you're able to?
Pastor Gary, Lord, that you'd place your healing hand upon him and bring him back to good health again, Lord. We pray and ask this all, dear Father, to give thee all the glory, honor, and the praise, and we ask it, not our will, but thy will be done, for we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated, please. All right. Why don't we take our 101 books again? We'll turn to number 85. 85.
You just mentioned that these are songs that are precious.
All right. In case you didn't hear what he just said, Pastor picked these songs, and they have been a blessing to our church for many years. So.
Yeah. All right. Of course, we're going to have this service here. We're going to have Brother Hitchens and his wife sing for us a little bit, and then he's going to preach from the Word of God. This is our 41st anniversary. Last year, we had a big deal and everything, but this is just a little something to do here. And so looking forward to fellowshipping afterward downstairs around the table. So stick around, and then right after we're done eating, we'll come back up here. We'll sing some more songs. Some of the songs that are precious to us here at Race Street Baptist Church. And then we'll have another message from the Word of God. And then we'll go home. The next couple weeks, your pastor, by God's grace, will be preaching. And on the 29th of this month, which is the last Sunday of the month, Matt Renzi will be with us, okay? And he'll be with us for the day. And I think it's like 2 weeks later, on the 12th of March, I got Brother William Jeffcoat will be with us. And he right now is in India, as far as I know, and then he's coming back, and he'll be with us for the whole day on March 12th. That's Brother Jeffcoat. I know a lot of you like him and like his preaching and so forth, so looking forward to having him here in March. Let's see. What else is there? I do want to read something to you that I got. Say that again, honey. Of February? Okay, yeah, it's the last Sunday that he'll be with us. But Matthew Renzi sent an email, which I thought was very nice, and I want to read it to you, okay? Everybody here at Race Street, dear Brother Freeman, congratulations on the 41st anniversary of the church there. I pray you have a blessed day today. I thank God for your friendship over the last few years. I've got to know you and your family. You and your church have been a real blessing to my heart and life. The character of Race Street Baptist Church can be summed up in two words: singing and scripture. I like that. Singing and scripture, and I appreciate that. God bless you, your friend, Matt Renzi. So I just thought I'd read that to you. He's really been blessed by our church. He is a member down there, Brother Hitchens, with Pinochetti. Do you know him? Yeah. And his church down there. And he's been a real blessing to us over the last year, I guess you could say. And so I just wanted to read that to you folks. It's so good to see how people enjoy Race Street Baptist Church. There's just something about us. And you know what? Keep on keeping on, everybody. Don't lose sight of what God has done here. And I think his hand will be upon us until the rapture takes place. If not, Brother Hitchens, you know what? In our Constitution, everything goes to Maranatha Baptist Church. if this place closes down, and now you guys are without a pastor, so two churches together. Okay, well, I just thought I'd read that for you. All right, Ralph, let's keep on going there. Thank you.
Don't forget to give the special love offering to the Hitchens. We're really glad that they're able to be with us today. The basket there is in the back. Before and after our services, that's how we take offerings here. We don't put pressure on anybody, and if you're able to give, that's great. If not, we're glad to have you too. So, all right, we'll be using our hymn book now. Let's turn to 417. 417.
Thank you.
Now, I should have done this before we sang this song, but we need to do our time with Psalm 19. So why don't we take care of that right now? Psalm 19, this is the passage we've been learning. I was told that I accidentally added an extra verse, and that we're only supposed to be doing through verse 5. So, I guess we'll do just one verses 1 through 5. I thought we had done 5 last week, but I guess I got mixed up. Anyway, we'll do verses 1 through 5, and we'll say it together twice. That way we get it in, okay? Psalm 19, verses 1 through 5. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run the race. All right, let's do it one more time. The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Break it up a bit so that they have a time to recover. Why don't we have Brother Hitchens and his wife come? If you want to do the Rudovo first and then do the special later, that's fine. Or whatever you'd like to do. Alright, that's fine. We'll do that, and then we'll sing. Then you can do one special. Yeah, okay. We'll do that. Thank you. Thank you. It's a blessing. All right. We have one more song as a congregation, and then you can do your two specials and then preach. /785 in our hymn book. I know this is a favorite of a number of us, particularly Brother Jim back there. 785. Why don't we stand one more time?
First time that Bob and I have sung this together. Yeah. So the gospel airs used to always sing this. So this is our first time to sing this together.
Yeah. trials come to pass. They do not come to stay. The darkness will not last. The sun will shine someday. Savior, having faith in his great power, and as deliverance came, this was God's message for that hour. Your trials come to pass, they do not come to stay, the darkness will not last. I came, my heavy burden rolled away as I called on Jesus' name. My life was changed and I began to walk the Calvary way. And when the trials came along, I heard the preacher say, trials come to pass, they do not come to stay, the darkness will not last, the sun will shine someday. Us. He guards the trusting soul, and not one trial comes our way, a why he does control. So when you are discouraged and you think you can't go on, remember trials come to pass, and sing song. Your trials come to pass, they do not come to stay, the darkness will not last, the sun will shine someday.
Got off to a little rocky start on that. Actually, we did that. Our trio did that years ago. But actually, Cheryl and I never really did that one together.
First time for everything.
Okay.
I just like the idea of this. Yeah. Trials come. They come.
Yes, they do.
They come to pass. They don't
stay there forever.
That's right, absolutely.
Praise the Lord, my heart with His love is beaming. I am a child of God.
Heaven's golden light over me is streaming. I am a child of God.
I am a child of God. Let the holy book tell the gospel story. I am a child of God.
And He fills my soul with His grace and glory. I am a child of God.
I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I have washed my robes in the cleansing fountain. I am a child of God. Save of sin
today, and I am forgiven.
I am a child of God. Through the test of life, I have praise from heaven. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I have washed my robes in the cleansing fountain. I am a child of God. I have washed my robes in the cleansing fountain. I am a child of God. I am a child of God.
It's great to be a child of God. Praise the Lord. I mentioned in Sunday school, my wife and I celebrated our 53rd wedding anniversary on February the 1st, same as your anniversary for the beginning of the church here. And about a year and a half later, both of us got saved and became a child of God.
Amen.
And that's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I've said this a lot of times. The most important decision we ever make in life, you know, is when we trust Christ as our Savior. I think the second most important decision is who we marry. I think that is a great decision. Thankful for my wife of 53 years. But it's good to be here today, and great to be in the house of God today. And I mentioned in Sunday school, we pray for you every day, pray for your pastor every day, and pray for the work here. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter number 2. 2 Chronicles chapter number 2, if you will.
Brother, we need to be done here a little bit before noon.
Okay. So be done by?
By five of.
Okay. Very good. Okay. 2 Chronicles chapter number 2, and starting to read here in verse 1. It says, and Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord and a house for his kingdom. And Solomon told out 70,000 men to bear burdens, 80,000 to hew in the mountain, 3,600 to oversee them. And Solomon sent to Huram, the king of Tyre, saying, as thou didst deal with David, my father, and didst send him cedars to build him an house to dwell therein, even so deal with me. Behold, I build an house to the name of the Lord my God to dedicate it to him, and to burn before him sweet incense, and for the continual showbread, and for the burnt offerings morning and evening on the Sabbaths and on the new moons and on the solemn feast of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel, and the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. I want to concentrate on verse 5. The house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. Let's bow for further word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege we had to be here today. Thank you for this day that you've given us, the day you've made. And Lord, we'll rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for the blessings of Sunday school. Thank you for the fellowship we've had thus far. Thank you for the songs. Lord, they've been a blessing and encouragement to our hearts. And now for this time, once again, we have to look into your precious holy word. Lord, I pray as we consider the word of God today, I pray that you'd speak to us. I pray the Holy Spirit might have his way in our hearts and lives. And for what you do, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful name, for his sake, we ask it. Amen. That fifth verse, he said, the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. House of God's a great place. And, you know, before I got saved at the age of 23, I didn't want to go to the house of God. In fact, I didn't have any interest in anything spiritual, for that matter. Unfortunately, I was running as hard as I could go the other direction. Now, some of you got saved later in life, maybe you can identify with that. But I'm thankful that I had a mother who got saved in a Methodist camp meeting in 1912 at the age of 10. And she prayed for me, and my brother got saved when I was 13, and I know he prayed for me. And then there are other folks that I had met along the way I know that were praying for me. And so at the age of 23, the Spirit of God was on my trail. Amen. And made me realize I was a lost sinner. It made me realize that I needed to get right with him. And I'm so thankful that I did. And so the first time I had ever walked into a Baptist church in my life was Sunday night, September the 5th, 1965. And I walked in that night, and I heard a very simple gospel message. And the Spirit of God convicted me, and I think I was the first one at the altar. And I walked out saved on my way to heaven. And I, you know, said before, the stars were brighter. Next day, the grass was greener. Everything was different because I was different. And when prayer meeting night rolled around, I wanted to go to church. Now, I never wanted to do that before. But all of a sudden, I wanted to go to church. And so I grabbed my King James Bible that was given to us when we got married, a family Bible, stuck it under my arm, and we went to church. And ever since that time, I've had a desire to be in the house of God. Look, this is a great place. And, you know, it doesn't make any difference what kind of a structure it is. You know, whether it's a brand new multi-billion dollar building or an older building, it doesn't make any difference. If this book's being preached and Christ is being exalted, it's a great place.
Amen.
It is a great place. And I love to be, you know, in the house of God. And when we think about the house of God being a great place, there are a number of reasons that I want to point out in the time we have. And the first thing is this, it's great because it's a place where we worship God. You know, in Psalm 5:7, the psalmist said this, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. This is a place. Now, look, we can worship God other places too, can't we? Because we worship him in spirit and in truth. In fact, look, you know, as Christians, we can be worshiping God constantly, can't we? We're told to pray without ceasing, you know, so that means, you know, regardless of where we are, what we're doing, we can be praying. And so we can be worshiping him, but there is something special about coming to the house of God. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if I'm able to get to the house of God and services are going on, I think God expects me to be there.
Amen.
Yep. And I want to be there. Now, occasionally, I've had to miss for different reasons. And by the way, if you have to, God knows about that, doesn't he? If you're sick and you can't get out, God knows about that. If something comes up and you can't get there, God knows about that. He understands that. But if we can be there, you know, if we're able to get there, then I think he expects us to be there. And there's something special about walking into the house of God. And it's a special place. Now, you know, I realize, you know, God himself doesn't dwell in buildings of wood and stone or whatever. You know, he dwells in us as Christians. The instant we got saved, the Spirit of God came in to dwell. And he took up his residence there. But this is a place that's set aside, you know, a special place that's set aside. And one of those reasons is so we can worship him in spirit and truth. You know, that word worship is an interesting word. The first time it's used in the Bible, it's used in connection with Abraham taking his son Isaac up on top of Mount Moriah. That's the first time the word worship is used. Abraham said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, think about that. What did he mean by that? Well, he was going to sacrifice his son there on Mount Moriah, wasn't he? That's exactly what he meant. You know, when we talk about worshiping the Lord, I think sometimes we don't realize all that's involved in that. A complete, you know, dedication to him. And and this is a place, you know, where we come to worship him in spirit and truth. So it's a great place for that reason. Great is this house of God. Not only that, but it's great because it's a place that offers hope to the lost. It offers hope to the lost. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is a place offering hope to the lost because the message of salvation is preached here. Amen. Now, I had, you know, before I got saved, I'd heard, you know, preaching on the radio and preaching on television. I remember when I was, probably 11, 12 years old, there was a fellow on television preaching, and his name escapes me right now. I might think of it later as we go. But I remember getting under, I didn't know what conviction was at that time, but I just knew it bothered me. I knew that his preaching bothered me, and whenever he came on, I'd listen for a little bit, and then I'd have to get up and leave because it got to me. And then I remember, you know, hearing some preaching on the radio. Now, unfortunately, the church I was raised in was a liberal church, and I never heard anything there about how to be saved. But I heard it on the radio. Percy Crawford.
Okay, yes.
Percy Crawford.
Yep.
Was on television preaching. I don't know if anybody remembers that name or not. It got to me. And then, of course, others that I heard. Well, my brother got saved when I was 13, and he began to preach to me. And so I knew what the Bible said, and I knew I needed to be saved. Unfortunately, I didn't get saved until I was 23. But I knew what it was all about. And I remember walking to the church that night, and I said this before, I don't think it would have mattered what the preacher was preaching on. I was under such conviction. And that was a place offering hope to me who was lost that night. And, you know, there may be somebody here this morning. You may be in that same condition. You may be lost today. You may have come in here not knowing that you're saved, that your sins are forgiven. But let me tell you this, you can go out today knowing
Amen.
That your sins Amen. Are forgiven. You can go out knowing that you have a home in heaven by simply repenting of your sins and trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. This house is great. This is a great place because it's a place offering hope to the lost. I remember being out on the Delaware Bay in a storm when I was a teenager. And I remember that we had to come in by compass because we couldn't see anything. It was raining so hard and waves are crashing over. And all we could do was look at that compass. And I remember we got close enough and I saw the light from the lighthouse. Praise the Lord. And we followed that in. And I don't know if I kissed the ground when we got in or not. But I know I was so glad to get in. And the light from the lighthouse guided us in. Well, look, this is the place where the light of the gospel is shining forth. Place offering hope to the lost. If you're not saved today, you can be saved. And look, this is a great place to get saved, isn't it? So it's a place of worship, a place offering hope to the lost. It's a place where newborn Christians are cared for. Place where newborn Christians are cared for. Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 2. He said, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. This is to the Thessalonian believers. When you get saved, and it doesn't make any difference whether you're 5 or 85, you're a newborn Christian, a babe in Christ. And look, babies need to be cared for, don't they? You know, physically speaking, it's a number of years before you're able to take care of yourself when you're growing up, right? Physically. Well, spiritually speaking, there's a growth process too. And, you know, regardless of what age you get saved, you know, we need to grow. And, of course, one of the ways is by the Word of God. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You know, when I got saved, I couldn't get enough of this book. And of all places, I started to read the book of Revelation. Nobody told, you know, I don't remember anybody telling me where I ought to start to read. If they did, you know, it just went over my head because I remember I got home and the first book I opened to start to read was Revelation. Well, you know, there is a blessing promised on those that read it. We're told that. And but I just had this hunger, you know, for the Word of God. And so, you know, as newborn babes, you don't look, a newborn babe has a natural desire for milk, right? I mean, if that baby's healthy, it wants milk. And then as you grow, you want something more. You want the meat. And the same thing is true in our spiritual life. And this is a place where you can grow. I'm thank the Lord. You know, my wife and I sat under Dr. Alan Dickerson's preaching, you know, for all those years. And, you know, we sat under his preaching before we went to Bible college. And this is not to brag on me, but when we got to Bible college, they gave us a diagnostic test on Bible doctrine to find out what we knew. Well, I did so well on the test, I didn't have to take the first year of Bible doctrine. Well, where'd that come from? Under his teaching. Amen. Because of his teaching and preaching of the Word. And, you know, if you will sit under the preaching of the teaching of the Word of God in this church, you'll grow. That's right. Now, not everybody grows at the same rate. You know, we don't always grow at the same rate, do we? But we will grow. And, of course, our growth depends much on our obedience, how much we are obedient. But this is a spiritual nursery, a place where, you know, newborn Christians are cared for and where you grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Then it's also, it's a place where the fruit of the Spirit is developed. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, all those things that are mentioned there in Galatians. In fact, let's turn over there and look at that. Look at this. In Galatians chapter number 5, of course, he tells us not to walk after the flesh. Let's look at chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. So that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And the fruit of the Spirit can be developed in this house of God. Yes. When I was growing up, my aunt and uncle had a flower business. They had greenhouses and they had a florist shop. And that was really my first job, you know, working in that business. And my brother did too, my older brother. Actually, he worked in that business 45 years. But in the greenhouses, we had all kinds of tropical plants. And, of course, you had to keep the heat on, had to keep it moist in there for those plants in order for, you know, them to grow. And so in a real sense, the house of God is kind of like a spiritual greenhouse where the fruit of the Spirit can be developed. And we, you know, should show that fruit. And by the way, a fruit tree doesn't have to work up a sweat to bear fruit, does it? A cherry tree or an apple tree or whatever, you don't see it sweating and straining. It bears fruit because that's the natural thing for it to do, because it's a fruit tree. And for Christians, it's a natural thing to bear the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, it just should come naturally. You know, nobody has to, you know, push us or, you know, to love your brother or do this or the other. It should be a natural thing, shouldn't it? And these things will manifest themselves as we grow and in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're told one of the things that's happening in our lives is that we're being molded in the image of Christ, conformed to the image of Christ. This is in Romans, familiar passage, Romans chapter number 8 and verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We're being conformed to the image of Christ right now. That is the work of the Holy Spirit that's going on in our lives right now. And he does it by lots of different means. But as he's doing that, the fruit of the Spirit will manifest itself in our lives. And, you know, again, it's not something we have to strain to bring about, you know, or really, you know, discipline ourselves somehow to bring this about. It will naturally come forth as we obey the Word, as we walk in the Spirit, as he told us to do. And so this place is a great place, the house of God, because it's a place where the fruit of the Spirit is developed. Then it's a great place because it's a place where God's people meet for fellowship. I don't know about you, but the world out there just doesn't hold anything for me anymore. Now, I know we're in it, and, you know, we're to be a witness to folks in the world. But this world's not our home, is it? We're just passing through here. And, you know, it just seems like the world's getting worse and worse. And as a born-again Christian, you don't really fit in out there, do you? You don't fit in. Now, you know, you work on the job. You have to work with folks of all kinds. And you want to be a witness to them, but in reality, you don't really have fellowship with them, do you? Because they're not heading the same direction. And so we fellowship with God's people. It's like an oasis to come to the house of God and fellowship with other Christians. You know, you really have a lot of times you have a better relationship with your Christian brothers and sisters than you do with your own family sometimes. I'm talking about flesh and blood. We had a preacher with us last week, and I remember he told us when he got saved, he told his dad, and his dad said, "You get out of this house and don't you ever come back again. I don't want to see you anymore." He said, "I went out and got in the car and cried, and opened my Bible to the verse." He had just got saved now. Of all the verses, he opened to that verse, "When my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up." But you have a closer relationship a lot of times with other Christians than you do with your own family, don't you? And you come to the house of God as a place of fellowship. Well, it's a place where God's people get fed. We get fed from this book, don't we? And I love to hear preaching. Even when I'm doing it. I remember what one fellow said one time as he started the message. He said, "I can't wait to see what I'm going to say." But Bible preaching feeds the soul. And this is where it happens in the house of God. And it's a great place because of that. Well, what else can we say about it? It's a great place. It's a place where the spiritually sick and wounded have their needs met. A place where the spiritually sick and wounded have their needs met. In Psalm 147, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it's good to sing praises unto our God. For it's pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." There are a lot of God's people with spiritual wounds. And a lot of God's people that are hurting, you know, for various reasons. And, you know, we really don't know what other people are going through, do we? But as God's people, you know, we're to be concerned about others. That little saying, secret to joy, Jesus, others, and you. Putting him first and then others before ourselves. But this is a place where the spiritually sick and wounded can have their needs met. And there is a healing balm in the preaching of this book, isn't there? Well, what else? It's a place of rest and refreshment. In Romans 15, Paul said this. He said, "I may be delivered from..." actually, it's a prayer request. He said, this is Romans 15, verse 30, "that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed." That world out there is like a desert, isn't it? And this is an oasis. You come into the house of God and it's an oasis where you can be refreshed and, you know, have our needs met and be ready to go out and face that world once again. And then the last thing is this. It's a place where God's people are fitted for the spiritual battle. We are in a battle, and the souls of men are hanging in the balance. I think as we approach the end of the age, the battle's going to get worse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And so we needed the armor of God, don't we? We don't have time to turn to it, but Ephesians 6 verses 10 through 18. That gives us a picture of the spiritual armor that we're to put on for the battle and fight the good fight of faith. Well, all these things, and I'm sure there are a lot of other things could be said, but all these things happen in the house of God. And this is a great place. Solomon said, the house of God is great. And it is a great place. And it's great to be here today. Great to be with you and great to help celebrate your 41st anniversary. And if you're not saved, let me urge you to do this. Trust Jesus as your Savior. There's no better time, there'd be no better place than right now to receive Him into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time and we thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who takes the word and applies it to our hearts. Lord, you know the hearts of each one here today. You know everything about all of us. I pray if there be any in our midst who have never been saved, Lord, that today they might come to know Jesus and the free pardon of sin. And as Christians, Lord, I pray that you'd deal with our hearts and draw us ever near to yourself and revive us. And Lord, for what you do, we'll give you the thanks and the praise now in Jesus' matchless name. For his sake we ask it. Amen.